As I mentioned, we're resuming our series on the Lord's Prayer, which is in Matthew 6. We recited it together already this morning. We're trying to learn how to pray from Jesus. So we took a little break over Christmas, and now we're at the halfway point where we get to ask for daily bread. I'm going to read it for us again. It should be very familiar by now if it wasn't already. Here it is, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 9, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the prayer that we're studying together. And here today we get to the middle of it, the part I think that we've all been waiting for. Because this is the part in the Lord's Prayer where we finally get to ask for things that we want, things that we need. We pray, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Before we get in there, though, we've taken a little break, so let me remind you what we've covered so far. The Lord's Prayer begins with our Father in heaven. Right? So when we come to God in prayer, we're coming to Him as our Father. We're coming as dearly loved children to a Father who cares for us, who wants to give us good things. And so when we come to pray to God, we come boldly with the same sort of boldness Jesus Himself has to our Father. And then He says, "Hallowed be your name." We want the name of God to be hallowed on earth as it is in heaven. So when we come to God, the first request we have is that the world would see the full character of God, that they would know His name. You remember, the name of God is that He is both loving and merciful, and that in the cross of Jesus, God has satisfied His wrath against sin and shown mercy to those who believe in Jesus. And we want that name to be glorified and exalted throughout the whole world. So we pray, "Hallowed be your name." Then we pray, "Your kingdom come." So the second request is for God to reign here on earth as He already does on heaven, in heaven. We want God to reign as the perfect king. And remember, His kingdom is the kingdom defined by the command to love, the golden rule, to treat others as you would have them treat you. We want that kingdom to be here on earth. We want that king to be reigning. We want people to be living in obedience to that command. And so we're praying that just as here and now already that kingdom is here in seed form, as you and I and other Christians seek to follow Jesus, we pray that that kingdom would grow like a little mustard seed, becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, that more people would see the kingship of Christ and submit to it. And then fourth, we pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this is where we surrender to God, where we say, before we get to the part where we're asking for what we want, we say, "Whatever you want, God." Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we say, "Here's what I want, this is what I'm desiring, but not my will, yours be done." And so we surrender to God, we ask Him to do what He wants to do, because we know His plans are better than our plans, His will is greater than our will. And so that we may have ideas for the ways that things should go and how our prayers should turn out, we surrender right at the beginning and say, I'm asking for this stuff, God, but your will be done, because you know better than me. And you love me, and I trust you. Having said all that stuff, preparing our hearts for this moment, we finally then get to ask God for things for ourselves. And so Jesus says the next thing to say is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I just want to unpack that little phrase today by looking at the three key words of give, daily, and bread. And say, what is Jesus saying by telling us to use those words? So first, let's look at the word bread. Why does Jesus tell us to pray for bread? It's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? I was making toast this morning, and I was looking for the bread. I said, where's the bread? Oh, there it is. You know, thank you for the bread, Jesus. Why bread? What's the big deal about bread? I think the point is that Jesus wants us to start by asking God for physical things, not just spiritual things. Asking God for physical things, not just spiritual things. So this has been a very spiritual prayer so far. Everything before this point, everything after it is spiritual. We're praying for God's name to be hallowed, His kingdom to come, His will to be done, forgiveness for sins, freedom from temptation. These are very spiritual things. But this line is intensely physical. He says, pray for bread. Pray for the stuff that you make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with. Pray for that stuff. Ask God for bread. And so Jesus wants us to pray for physical things, not just spiritual things, physical things. It seemed like this was too much for some of the early Christians to really believe that God would actually tell us to pray for physical things. Some of the early church leaders wrote in their documents that we still have about the Lord's Prayer, and they said, now surely this can't mean that he wants us to pray for physical things. He must be referring to communion bread. That's probably what he's talking about. Or maybe this is a reference to the Word of God, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very Word of God. And so Jesus must be talking about praying that God would nourish us every day with his Word, which is not a bad thing, right? But it seems like they're missing the obvious thing that Jesus is actually saying when he says pray for bread. He's saying pray for physical stuff. You don't have to spiritualize this. It's okay to ask God for food. In fact, when you read in the context, in chapter 6, you keep on going, you get to this great passage, one of my favorite passages, starting in verse 25, where Jesus talks about how we don't need to worry about things. He says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? Then again in verse 31, he sums it up, says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things we added to you. So it's clear that in this part, just a few verses later, Jesus is talking about physical things. He's talking about food and drink and clothing. He says you don't need to worry about that stuff. Why? Because you just prayed about it. You just prayed about it. You asked your Father for it, and he knows you need it, and he's going to take care of you. So here in chapter 6, later, clearly Jesus is talking about physical things, so why not in the Lord's Prayer? And then he also, you notice, he expands it, right? He doesn't just talk about physical about bread in like verse 25 or verse 31. He expands it to other necessities, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. So again, this shows us that Jesus in the Lord's Prayer is not just talking only about bread, like that's the only physical thing you can ask for. Saying that bread is a stand-in, it's a representation, a symbol of all needs that we have, whether it's our food or our drink or our clothing or anything. And that's how most people have interpreted this phrase since at least the Reformation. In fact, Martin Luther, our good friend Martin Luther, put it this way. He said the bread is a symbol for, quote, everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace. Okay? So it's a prayer for everything necessary for the preservation of this life. That's what Jesus means when he says, ask for bread. I guess it wasn't just my sweater making noise. Huh? Can somebody pray that the microphone works? Maybe for that? Praying God for the microphone. Okay. So God wants us to ask for physical things, not just spiritual things, but physical. Okay? Sometimes we over-spiritualize things. We say God only cares about spiritual things. He doesn't care about working microphones. He doesn't care about, my car starting this morning. He doesn't care about those sorts of things. And we differentiate. We say there's different things. We go to God for certain things, but not others. But God wants to be like Amazon.com, okay? All right? I don't know if you remember this, but Amazon used to only sell books. That's how they started, right? And if you wanted books, you would go to Amazon. But if you wanted hand towels, you'd go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Okay, if you wanted a TV, you would go to Best Buy. Remember that? You'd go to stores and you'd buy things, right? But now, what do? You go, if you want almost literally anything, you go to Amazon.com. And you can put all these clothes on these things in one shopping cart. You know, you could have dish soap and an iPhone and a jump rope and some sneakers, okay? All in one, from one place, right? Because it's a one-stop shop for everything. And that's what God's trying to do here. He's trying to communicate to us. He is the one-stop shop for all of your needs. Don't differentiate. Don't say, I go to God for my spiritual things, but if I need something physical, I go to my parents, or I go to the bank, or I go to my friends, or I go to Amazon. He's saying, start with God. Everything. He cares about all sorts of requests, spiritual and physical. If you need any kind of help, come to God. So when you pray, when you come with your needs to God, don't censor yourself. Don't feel bad about asking God for mundane things. I mean, it pains me when I hear people say things like, you know, God, I know that you're busy. I know you got a lot going on. This isn't a big deal. But could you help me with? I mean, don't censor yourself like that. God wants to hear about your prayers for bread. Right? If you think your stuff is not a big deal, is it smaller than bread? He cares about breakfast. That's what he's saying here, right? Say, ask me for breakfast. So when you've got needs, you come to God and you say, you know, God, I need help paying the rent this month. I need your help to get better from this flu. I need a new car. Right? You can ask for all those things. God cares about all those things. He's saying, pray for bread. It doesn't have to be spiritual. He says right here, ask for anything. But the bread, you might notice, has an adjective. It says, give us this day our daily bread. So what's the point of that? Why is Jesus asking for daily bread? And that brings us to the second point, and I think it's that he's teaching us that we need to ask God to meet our needs, not to give us a surplus. He wants God to meet our needs, not give us a surplus. So I did just say God wants you to ask for everything. It's physical stuff, spiritual stuff, whatever. Don't censor yourself. But we do need to pay attention to the words that Jesus uses here. And he doesn't say pray for so much bread that you will never have to ask for bread again. He doesn't say ask for so much bread that you've got a surplus, a stockpile, a pantry full of bread, and you'll always have it if you need it. He says pray for daily bread. Pray for enough bread for today, enough bread for tomorrow. Now, if you've read the Bible, you know that there's a pretty clear reference that Jesus is making here to an Old Testament story. It's a story in the Old Testament of manna. It's in Exodus 16. You don't have to flip there. I'll summarize it for you. But this is right after the people of God escaped from Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. And now they're in the desert. And they are wandering the desert. They're hungry. They're literally starving because they're running out of food and they're in the desert. And they're saying to Moses and Aaron, take us back. We would rather be in Egypt because at least there was stuff to eat there. And so God provides this miraculous stuff. In the morning, they walk out and they see covering the ground this flaky white substance and they don't know what it is. So they call it manna, which is Hebrew for what is it? And it turns out they can eat it. And God says to them, collect this stuff. I'm going to provide it for you every day. This is your daily bread. And I want you to eat it. And you'll survive in this way throughout the wilderness. And he tells them, only take enough for today. So, of course, some people take extra. And they try to keep it overnight for the next day. And what happens when they look at it the next day, you remember? It's gross. It's full of worms. It's decayed. It's spoiled. God says, no, don't save extra for the next day. I'll give you enough for every day. And there was enough for every day. And on Saturday, or on Friday, the day before the Sabbath, he gave them a double portion so that they could save some over so they wouldn't have to collect it on the Sabbath. But every other day, there was no surplus, just enough. And the people learn over 40 years to live by faith, trusting God every day for daily bread and no more. He provides. Now this is clearly in Jesus' mind as he's saying this. He says, give us our daily bread. He's talking about giving a callback to the wilderness. And he's telling them in this the same warning, really, that Moses gave the people. Don't get greedy. Trust God for what you need, but don't get greedy. You can ask God for anything. Ask God for everything. Don't censor yourself, but be content for him to give you enough. You don't need to have a surplus. You don't need to have some stored over for later. Ask God to meet your needs, and he will give it to you. But if you try to hold on to it, it's going to spoil. It's going to spoil. So Jesus gives us this qualifier, ask for daily bread. I think it's clear enough when we think about that story in the wilderness, but it's a little trickier when we say, now how does that apply to us living in the 21st century here in America? Does this mean that we have to empty our bank accounts and sell everything and trust God to provide just enough every day for us to live? And, you know, some people have taken it that way. But that doesn't seem to fit with the rest of Scripture. In particular, a really helpful cross-reference worth looking at is Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 through 9. So why don't you look at that with me. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. This is the Old Testament version of the prayer for daily bread. It's really good. Proverbs 30, verse 8 says this, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Two sides there, right? It's a really good verse. This is the an Old Testament explanation of what it means to ask for daily bread. So on the one hand, give me neither poverty, on the other hand, nor riches. Neither poverty nor riches. He's saying we don't want to be poor. We don't want to be so poor that we don't have what we need and we're forced to steal to get what we want, to get what we need to even have daily bread. He says, I don't want to do that, God. I don't have to profane your name. I don't want to be put in a situation where I have to choose between obeying your command not to steal and dying. Right? So don't give us poverty, God. We don't want that. He says, also don't give me riches, which is weird, right? Why would anyone pray not to get riches? He says, because I might become full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? That's what happens, right? That's why God doesn't want us to have a surplus, because when we start to have too much, then we start to trust in the things that we have. We say, I don't need God because I have this. I have this money. I have this this safety net. I can take care of myself. I don't need to ask for daily bread because I've got it covered for the next 50 years. And so he says, don't pray for riches. Pray instead for enough, that God would give us that middle ground between poverty and riches, where we have enough, but not so much that we forget to trust in God. And so what's that look like for us? How do we know what enough is? I've said this before. I picked this up from somebody else. I think it's really good wisdom to answer this question. So you might want to write this down if you haven't burned it in your brain yet. But as you try to figure out how much is enough, remember this principle. Keep whatever you need for your mission and give away whatever you want to keep forever. Okay? Keep whatever you need for your mission, but give away whatever you want to keep forever. So keep what you need for your mission. God has given all of us a mission. In a big picture sense, you can see it on our bulletin. He's given us the mission to love God, love people, multiply disciples. Right? That's for every Christian everywhere. But we've all got these specific missions, specific ways God calls us to live out our lives. If you're a parent, part of your mission is to raise your children and take care of them. And so God is giving you resources. He's providing for you so you can do that. You need to have certain resources to raise children, right? It's not right for you to impoverish yourself when God has given you this mission to take care of kids. You've got to do that. And so keep what you need for your mission. Other people, maybe your mission is to be a real estate developer or to build homes, right? If that's your mission that God has given you, you probably need $1 million. Right? You need capital to accomplish those purposes. It's not wrong for you to have that. You need what you need for your mission. And you trust God to provide what you need for your mission, and that's your daily bread. So whatever it is, whatever mission God has given you, he's going to fund that mission so you can accomplish his purposes. And you can trust him to provide that daily bread so you have what you need. But at the same time, you got to be careful not to get seduced by those riches. And to recognize that whatever God gives you above and beyond what you need for your mission is a surplus. If you try to hold on to that for yourself, it's going to do the same thing the manna did in the wilderness. It's going to spoil. It's going to rot. It's going to corrupt you. It's going to cause trouble. And so the second part is give away whatever you want to keep forever. Once you figure out what your mission is and how much you need to accomplish the purposes God has given you, then you give the rest away. And when you do that, there's this amazing alchemy that happens. God says, or Jesus says this, you can actually take earthly treasures that spoil and rot and cause all sorts of trouble, and you can turn them into heavenly treasure that never spoils, that never fades, that you have forever. And how do you do that? By giving it away. He says that's how you do it. So if you want to keep your treasure forever, you give it away. That's the paradox of Christianity. Keep what you need for your mission, but give away whatever you want to keep forever. And this gets down to something deep here. The reason why God does this, why would God ever give anyone a surplus? Why wouldn't he just give everyone exactly what they need for their mission? It's because the way he meets the needs for daily bread is through other people. That God gives some people a surplus at some point so that they can meet the needs of those who have less at that time. Right? And then other times he gives others a surplus so they can meet the needs of those who have less at a different time. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, we studied this in depth a few months ago. 2 Corinthians 8, 13 and 14, he says, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. And then he quotes from the manna story in the Old Testament, and he says this, as it's written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. So sometimes you're going to be the answer to someone else's prayer for daily bread. What a privilege. That God gives you enough for your mission and gives you extra so that you can be the answer to another person's prayer for bread. James says in James 2:15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? He said, there's people, there's brothers and sisters, people, fellow Christians who don't have daily bread. How are they supposed to get it? By us saying, go, be warm and well fed. I'm sure God will provide for you. God has provided by giving us a surplus so that we can meet their needs. So when you pray, watch out for greed. You ask for anything. Really, ask for anything. God says, don't censor yourself. Ask for bread, ask for physical stuff, ask for it all. But at the same time, remember that we're asking for daily bread. We're saying, God, give us enough to fulfill our mission. And if God is so generous in answering that prayer to give you a surplus, don't hoard that for yourself, but give it to others. So that's what the daily is about. Now finally, let's look at the last thing, that actually the first word in the verse, give. Give us this daily bread. Why does Jesus want us to ask God for it? Why does he say, give? And I believe it's because we need to recognize that everything we have is a gift from God. Oh, I'm trying to stand still. I just can't do this. Keep praying, people. Keep praying. The microphone's going to work. All right. Recognize that everything we have is a gift from God. So we think about daily bread. How do we get it, really, practically speaking? How does the food that you eat show up on your table every day? Somebody in your family has a job. Maybe multiple people in your family have a job. And you go and you work. You put forth effort. You trade your effort for money. You use that money to buy goods. You go to the store, or maybe if you grow something, you go to your backyard and you pull out the food. You bring it into your table. You prepare it. You put it in the oven. You're the crock pot or the microwave. And you make the food, and then you set it on the table. Okay, and there is your daily bread. There's a lot of work involved in that. Your meals don't just show up on the table three times a day. Your pantry doesn't just get magically stocked. When you're a kid, that's what you think, right? You just, oh, there it is, food, boom. It's just there. But you know, if you're an adult or you've done any shopping yourself, you know that the food that you eat every day is a result of work. And not just your work, but a vast amount of labor done by so many people. Millions of other people who work to grow your food, transport it, store it, sell you that food. So every day, if you're eating food, we're just talking about food here. Every day when you eat your daily bread, yes, you have to work for it. There's a lot of work involved. But Jesus says you have to ask God for it. It's a gift. So which is it? Are you working for your food, or is it a gift of God? Now we know that Jesus isn't saying, don't work for your food, just sit around and wait for it to show up. We know that because Paul addresses it very clearly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Apparently there are some people in the church in Thessalonica that misunderstood this teaching. They thought they were just supposed to wait around and they would get all the food that they needed, and then Jesus would come back and it'd all be good. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we hear this instruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. So clearly God expects us to work. If anyone will not work, let him not eat. There is a connection between your labors and your bread. So if we have to work for our food, if it is a result of our labors, why don't we pray like Bart Simpson, who once said, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." What's wrong with Bart's prayer? Well, I think it's he hasn't thought deeply enough about the relationship between our work and God's gift. I mean, maybe the case that you did work, like you worked hard for the food that is in front of you on your table. But who gave you your body to do that work? Who gave the rain that enabled the grain to grow? Who made sure that the economy didn't devolve into hyperinflation so that the money that you saved so diligently in the bank is actually worth something? Who did that? Did you do that? It was a gift from God. Everything's a gift from God. Your body, your mind, the fact that we woke up this morning and got here with energy to be here today is a gift from God. The fact that we were able to drive here in a car today is a miracle. It's a gift. I mean, just think about God provided the raw materials for the car that you got in to come here today. He provided the millions and millions of man hours of work that went into designing and engineering and creating the car that you drove here today. He provided the people, the workers, to clear the roads and to put down salt. He provided the people who designed and built the roads and the money that went to pay the taxes to fund the roads. Right? And then the miracle liquid that you put in your car to fund it, to fuel it to get here. You know, it's incredibly hard to get that stuff out of the ground and refine it, and yet it's still cheaper than a gallon of soda. Right? Did you do that? No, God did that. It's a gift. You can do it with anything. Look at anything in this world, anything that you have, and you think, this is a gift from God. God did this. So this prayer is designed by Jesus to remind us of that fact every day, that we are dependent creatures. It's a prayer that says, I need bread today, and I can't get it by myself. I need a gift from God to even have bread. And praying this prayer of dependence, it changes the way you see life. So you can pretend that you don't need God for anything. Okay? You can wake up in the morning and first thing, just go to your cabinets and pull out your cereal and pour yourself a bowl of cereal and you can eat it and you can be satisfied. And then you can go out in that day and you can live in the blind assumption that if I'm hungry, I'll get food. If I have a problem, I can solve it. I am self-reliant. I take care of my own needs. But if you follow the practice of Jesus, and first thing in the morning you wake up and you pray, give me today my daily bread. You just reorient your whole life. You'll go out there, you may grab the same cereal and pour that same bowl, but now you receive it as a gift from God. I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you for the bread that you've given me today. And you go to brush your teeth and you turn on the faucet and you see clean, fresh, running water, safe to drink. You think, I didn't do that. God, thank you for the water. You turn up your thermostat and you realize it is a gift of God that you can be warm inside when it's negative 20 outside. And you're safe. And you can get your paycheck and you look at those numbers and you don't pat yourself on the back and say, good job me for working so hard in school and working so hard at my job so that I can get this good paycheck and take care of myself. But you say, thank you God that you provided this for me. It's a gift. So we want to practice that type of prayer this week. We're going to keep get back into the swing of practicing the Lord's Prayer. So if you look on your note-taking outline, you'll see the practice plan for this week. It's pretty simple. We're going to try to learn to depend on God for daily bread. So as before, I want you to set a timer for 7 minutes. You're setting aside time to pray and start off by saying, Lord, teach me to pray. And then read through the Lord's Prayer again. And then focus on these daily bread type prayers. So think through the needs you will have this day. Just try not to worry too much about the future. Let's get back to daily living. Pull it back in a little bit and just think this day. Maybe look at your calendar for the day. Think over the things that are going to happen that day and pray for each one. What do you need today? Ask God for that specifically for those things. Ask for spiritual things. Ask for physical things. Ask for whatever. And then also to work on this spirit of gratitude each day, thank God specifically for one thing and make it a different thing every day. Just think about the things that God has given you and thank him for that. And as you close, talk to God about whatever else is on your heart until the timer goes off, or sit in silence and reflect. Let's pray for daily bread this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being able to get through this sermon. Thank you for microphones. Thank you for all these things that we don't even notice until they don't work, including our body parts. Thank you for so many things that you've given us. Thank you we can just pick something and just go through that exercise of just thinking through all the things that were necessary for us to be able to have that. Yes, including our labor, but so much more. Thank you for these gifts. Help us to be grateful people. You have met our needs up until this point, and we are so quick to forget that. And then help us to live in faith, trusting that you'll provide what we need for today. Help us to be wise as we plan, but also not to get so caught up in the future that we worry and are anxious about things we can't control. Help us to have peace today as we trust in you for today and for tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.